such a falsehood when people in our government say, well, we're exceptional and we don't have to abide by inspections or limits or the concerns about terror that we say other countries represent.
I believe in American exceptionalism with every fiber of my being.
And when the city mission tells me that I have to go to their church to eat a meal, I have to listen to their chapel to eat a meal, and but yet I can walk down the street and somebody can come by and hand me a sack lunch. I'm more satisfied with that sack lunch than having to spend 1 to 2 hours listening to a message that I don't agree with, because I have my own faith.
I'm Richard Church, care of poor people. I've been on here many times. But you see, it's a very important radio show. We need to get the message out about this Food Sharing Act.
This morning on Tell Somebody, a little conversation with Nobel Peace Prize nominee Kathy Kelly, in town recently for Trifecta Resista, and proposed City Ordinance 140412 requiring food sharing permits and labeling for feeding the homeless has Richard Tripp and a lot of other folks fighting City Hall. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. Stand by for Tell Somebody. Somebody, June 12, 2014, www.tellsomebody.us, on Twitter at Tell Somebody Now. Look for Tell Somebody Now on Facebook. This is your host, Tom Clammer. If you have any comments or questions on this show, drop me a line at mail@tellsomebody.us. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the station or anybody else involved with it. Big thanks to everyone who called into the show last week and made a donation to your community radio station. And thanks to Mary Lindsay and David Cobb of Move to Amend for helping out on the air. The podcast of last week's show has been posted. Look for a link at tellsomebody.us. And on a related note, the Kansas City chapter of Move to Mend will be having an action meeting tonight for volunteers or anybody else interested in learning more about KCMTA. And that will be 6:30 tonight at the Waldo branch of the Kansas City Public Library, 201 East 75th Street. That's between Oak and Main Street on 75th, and the public is welcome. Rather than trying to deal directly with the problems of homelessness, the Kansas City, Missouri City Council is poised to pass an ordinance making it more difficult for churches and other nonprofit groups to feed the homeless. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but first, 3-time Nobel Peace Prize nominee Kathy Kelly was in Kansas City and surrounding areas for the 2014 events of Trifecta Resista, a Kansas City-based coalition of groups supporting Chelsea Manning, currently imprisoned in Leavenworth, Kansas, and opposing nuclear weapons parts production in Kansas City and drone warfare operations at Whiteman Air Force Base near Knob Noster, Missouri. On Saturday, May 31st, I caught up with Kelly at the entrance to the Kansas City Nuclear Weapons Parts Plant at the Bannister Federal Complex in South Kansas City and started to record a conversation as a bus was loading to take protesters to another gathering at the De La Salle Education Center. Kathy Kelly, what are you doing here in Kansas City?
Well, I'm so pleased to be here with about five dozen activists who have certainly been exemplary in continually calling attention to a factory that has assembled nuclear weapons. It's so dangerous, you know, it's such a falsehood to say that there's anything related to security happening as we amass all of the nuclear weapons that we have in the United States. And, you know, I think it presents such a falsehood when people in our government say, well, we're exceptional and we don't have to abide by inspections or limits or the concerns about terror that we say other countries represent when they have the nuclear weapon. When in fact, you know, our government is the only country on earth and in history that it has actually used nuclear weapons. And when you think about the trillions of dollars that have been spent by driving countries forward into these insane weapon races and competitions, that money could have been so needed, the resources, the ingenuity, the science, to help us face the real terrors of global warming and climate change, and for children who are dying of starvation, and for people who succumb to curable diseases, and for people who don't have even the most basic of infrastructure needs being met. In all of those instances, we could have become beloved all around the world and we could be secure because of that. But instead, we assemble the parts for enough material to blow the entire planet up many times over. So this is a sadness, but it's also very telling that people so close to this plant physically are not going to stand for it. They are going to go to the courts, they continually go to their legislatures, they educate themselves, they invite others like myself to come in and join them, and of course we'll also go to Whiteman Air Force Base tomorrow where the drones are being flown, and I plan to cross the line there.
And what are your expectations for ramifications of crossing the line at Whiteman?
Well, generally that's a 4 to 6 month sentence.
Yeah, we were talking at the gates of the Kansas City Nuclear Weapons Parts Plant, interrupted when the bus had to leave, and then you had said something there about U.S. officials feeling that they're exceptional, the country's exceptional, we don't have to worry about things that other countries do. And I was put in mind of the president's comments, which you mentioned in your talk tonight, where Barack Obama in the last week said, I believe in American exceptionalism with every fiber of my being. That plays a little different in different circles. You want to comment on that just a little bit?
Well, I think we should think of the circles internationally. How does that sound to people in other countries? I think it's very, very foolish. I mean, I think we should look at history of Napoleon, look at the history of Hitler, look at others who thought that they could be exceptional, that they could create alliances of other countries and have world dominance. And I think the United States is at a point where even though we'd like to say that we're the indispensable nation, as Madeleine Albright has put it back in 2009, she said, we stand taller than others, we see further. It's just simply not true. I think that although the United States has a stronger military than the next 18 countries combined, if you look at the scale of weaponry that we purchase, I don't think we can say that security rests in being able to have a strong capacity to kill people and destroy things. I think we are a country that could be superseded by other countries that aren't so saddled with maintaining, as the United States does, close to 1,000 military bases worldwide. I'm thinking of China, and certainly there are plenty of Chinese militarists And I don't at all want to give China a pass in terms of human rights abuses, but the Chinese population, which is five times the population of the United States, is doing quite well in terms of academics and innovation and economic growth. So it could be that the effort on the part of the United States to provoke China and to say we're going to contain China and to develop the Asia pivot, as though somehow we never should be asked about investigating our weapon stashes or investigating the weapons that our ally Israel has that are nuclear weapons. This kind of exceptionalism I don't think is going to play very well, and we're not going to see the Russian government going along with it either. So we have so much to learn and think about in terms of being one country among others, sharing equitably the resources of the planet. And that's where I think we'd find much more security.
You had one question from the audience this morning, or this evening, about strategy and what's effective and what gets people to work. And there aren't, relatively speaking, that many people like you and Brian Terrell who are in a position to be able to and willing to go to dangerous places, get arrested and go to prison sometimes. I don't know how many people we can expect to be able to do the wonderful things that you guys do, but her question about turning the crank, getting something activated. David Cobb, 2004 Green Party presidential nominee, was here recently pushing an amendment to the Constitution to overturn corporate personhood. And one of the things he said was, facts don't matter as much as they should. They matter in some objective sense, but in terms of convincing people and moving them, they don't matter. They need stories. And the stories that we're bombarded with the press are these fairy tale myths about American exceptionalism. They're about the flag-waving soldier stories like Alice Kitchen mentioned this evening. I've been trying to push the idea that, like what David Cobb says, with the corporations having so much illegitimate power added on and on by the Supreme Court in favor of corporate interests, and the media and journalism being just a total farce generally, that if you really want to accomplish something in almost any sphere, you have to do something about the media and journalism, the stories, and you have to rein in the corporate power with something like an amendment. And I was just wanting your reaction to the idea that these are kind of foundational things to accomplishing anything against all these false, factless stories that people are bombarded with.
Well, it's plenty of interest to me that in 12 weeks, the Occupy movement, which sort of seemed to spring out of nowhere, they had globalized one line, 99 and 1. And you can go all around the world and ask people, do you know what that means, 99 and 1? And they do. That has gone into the lore. And I hope it'll survive for several more generations. And so I think we can't always predict what it is that's going to have a widespread motivating appeal. But I think the Occupy movement was an arrow, a sign to what is possible. It's also clear to me that a generation of students graduating from universities are going to be like indentured servants, saddled with so much debt. And they're not going to have jobs that'll give them salaries commensurate to paying off that debt very easily. Some of them may have to delay having families. So what is that going to mean? It may well be that not only in the United States, but in other countries all around the world, a group of young people are going to be ready to say, this doesn't work. And we'll want to see the pendulum kind of hitch and swing in a different direction. Now, certainly the oligarchs and the corporate heads are going to be very, very determined to use every means of distracting people through sports and entertainment and gizmos and almost atomizing people to, you know, just be so individualized that they won't even imagine the sense of coming together. But I don't think it's that unthinkable. And of course, the technology we have now does allow people to come together across presumed borders as well. I'm thinking international borders and also the many divides that people try to create, saying, well, you're this and you're not that. So what essential stories do we need to tell ourselves? I think it's very essential that we allow that for the possibility that human beings, in order to survive, have to give up saying we're it, we're number one, and really start to think about mutual survival with other species and other beings on the planet. I mean, I think it's that we're going to be facing very, very difficult times when people are going to have to tell different stories than what they've been accustomed to. I think it's interesting to look at Pope Francis. You know, the horse is out of the stable and galloping compared to other hierarchs in the Roman Catholic Church. This is quite a change, and who would have guessed? And you don't know who's going to come around the corner that might, or what grouping is going to come around the corner. I think we also do well to, you know, really ask what actually makes us happy, and allow that story to be told and be interested in those stories.
Whoever dies with the most toys wins, you know.
But yeah, I'm not sure that person is necessarily happy either. And I think we should try for tolerance and open-mindedness as well. There may be people within military structures, within corporate structures, who are themselves unhappy and wouldn't mind seeing some mighty changes. I think Snowden is certainly an example of an unexpected and very, very brilliant whistleblower. Chelsea Manning was unexpected and has been a very brave and exemplary whistleblower. There are quite a few others that have been coming out recently. So, you know, who knows what may help move us toward change. I don't want to minimize the terrible, terrible difficulties, but India is one country where there was a landslide election for a frighteningly conservative fellow. But I was recently in India at a college called Barefoot College, and most of the people are illiterate. And what they learned is that you can train a young man up to be a solar engineer or a water conservationist, and it's likely that that graduating student will take the degree and go someplace else and get out of town and not want to stay in a small village. Well, this place is in Rajasthan in a small area called Tilonia, and they train the grandmothers because the grandmothers will never leave. And so here you have this campus full of grandmothers who are illiterate and using pictures and colored graphs to assemble the batteries for solar-powered engineering. And they've got workshops going all over the place, learning how to be water conservation experts, learning how to be their own radio programmers. One has learned how to become a dentist, and they call themselves Barefoot College. So you never know what kinds of experiments could be out there.
Kathy Kelly did cross the line at Whiteman Air Force Base the next day, and, along with local activist Georgia Walker, was arrested. Kathy Kelly is a co-coordinator for Voices for Creative Nonviolence. More information at vcnv.org. In recent days, first on Twitter, I've come across links to stories about fairly closely spaced spikes being installed in alcoves and other concrete surfaces in upscale neighborhoods in London, England, where the homeless might otherwise try to sleep. This, of course, does nothing to solve any of the actual problems of homelessness. It does tend to drive the problem away from the upscale neighborhoods where the spikes are installed. I haven't heard, yet, of this approach being used in the United States, at least not literally, but there are dozens, maybe hundreds, of stories of metaphorical spikes in the U.S. in the forms of laws outlawing or restricting the feeding of the homeless. Kansas City seemed to be flirting with a ban on homelessness a year or two ago. Local corporate media stories featured the Kansas City manager and Evie Craig, the director of Restart, a downtown shelter, citing problems caused by feeding the homeless outside of established shelters. But the idea seemed to go away for a time in the face of negative reactions. But it certainly did seem to be a trend nationally. A 2012 article in USA Today talked about outdoor feeding bans in Philadelphia and Denver, and a proposal in Ashland, Oregon, and went on to say, quote, more than 50 other cities have previously adopted some kind of anti-camping or anti-food sharing laws, according to the National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty. The ordinances are pitting city officials against homeless advocates. City leaders say they want to improve the lives of homeless people and ensure public safety, while supporters of the homeless argue that such regulations criminalize homelessness and make it harder to live on the nation's streets. We're seeing these types of laws being proposed and passed all over the country, said Heather Johnson, a civil rights attorney at the Homeless and Poverty Law Center, which opposes many of the measures. We think that criminalization measures such as these are counterproductive. Rather than address the root cause of homelessness, they perpetuate homelessness. USA Today, close quote. Care of Poor People, Inc. Director Richard Tripp recently told me of a proposal for metaphorical spikes in the concrete in Kansas City, a proposed city ordinance number 140412 that had been voted out of a city council committee on May 21st with a recommendation that the full council pass it. I caught up with Richard Tripp and a small group of protesters at 12th and Holmes on Wednesday last week, June 4th, where they rallied before marching to City Hall. Give a listen. Richard Tripp, what brings you here to 12th and Holmes today?
We're down here trying to take care of a major cancer problem we've got in this city. The city council have come up with a new ordinance to stop little not-for-profits from feeding the poor or giving them anything. You can't give them anything anymore. They want to bring the health department in it to check your kitchens out, where you make your food, and all this stuff. But the worst part to me, they even want to charge volunteers $25 a person to be shown how to really feed the homeless. I mean, that's ridiculous. I personally found out, I called Wagner, City Councilman Wagner. I had somebody calling yesterday. And they said to him, or he said to them on the phone, well, if you want to know anything about the real true of the ordinance, call Evie Craig at Restart.
She's the director of Restart, and tell us what Restart is.
Restart is an organization I was involved in years ago. They take care of the homeless, supposedly, with the shelter and kids. But the thing that really gets me is I can see what's happening because Evie Craig, on your show a few years ago, more or less told everybody what she was trying to do. And now she's been able to waggle her way into the city council to get some council members and try to pass this ordinance. What the ordinance actually does is it makes it harder on the little bitty not-for-profits that get their money from donations and their volunteers from people donating their time. And she's tired of seeing that. She wants everything to go to a couple leading organizations in this town. Now, this is my personal opinion, understand that. But I'm telling you, if you read the writing on the wall, you'll know what's happening. And I will fight it as long as I can. Other people will fight it once they find out what's really going on. This is another one of them things that those with money are trying to take over for those that ain't got money.
And besides nonprofit groups set up specifically for feeding the homeless, there's a lot of churches that just go out with a bus,
right,
or something.
They won't be able to do that with this. This ordinance will take care of all that. It'll stop all that of trying to feed the poor and the homeless. This ordinance will stop it. I mean, they're trying everything in their power to stop it. As a matter of fact, they're having a meeting at City Hall at noon today. And we're going to try to pack that place with people because the people really need to know what's really going on in our community. The homeless are not trash. They're human beings. You can't kick them around and cover them up. And basically, that's what this law is trying to do.
And this will leave a homeless person that's hungry with very few options except a couple of shelters. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
But it doesn't really address the homeless problem, help the homeless people whatsoever.
It helps the bigger organization get bigger and the little ones disappear, because there's no way the little organizations, I mean, they're living off funding that's donated anyway. And if they have to go out of their way and pay hundreds of dollars to do an event, they simply can't do it. They do not have the funds to do it. These are volunteers that take up their time. And the bigger organizations would love to have them. It's the sneakiest thing I ever seen come along in our city. And somebody's got to stop it. And I can stand up and tell people what's going on. But if they use a little common sense and check where the ordinance came from, and it's easy to trace back, then they'll know what's really going on. And I won't sound like just somebody with the theory. They'll know what's really going on.
Okay, we're going to stay tuned and see what happens today and beyond that. Thank you, Richard Tripp.
Thank you.
What's going on with the young man?
Hey, bro.
What's your name?
My name's Eric Faulkner Muhammad.
And what brings you here to 12th and Holmes today?
What brings me here today is because we have a mayor that is steady trying to build the city up and not looking at his true constituents here in the city, the poor, the poverty-stricken, and the homeless. And now y'all trying to put in a train, but y'all won't home the homeless. Y'all won't feed the homeless, but you're trying to put in a train downtown. You're trying to police the plaza. The plaza don't need to be police. You need to come down here and deal with your constituents here in Kansas City. They say it's a bunch of jobs out here, but a lot of these people can't get jobs because they don't have education, they don't have the know-how, they don't have the resources, you know, and they can't get jobs. So we need to open up the places like FECs, the FECs, so these people can get these type of training so they can get jobs.
What's the FECs?
Full Employment Council. You know, and we need to start being for the people instead of trying to build up a city that doesn't feel anything. We're talking about human life here, and you talking about building a city up that doesn't feel nothing. Because without the people, you don't have a city.
Well, thank you very much, and I think maybe we'll quit because I think he's going to get on the bullhorn.
But
thanks
a lot.
Okay, yes, sir. Head for City Hall, people.
These fines, how are we trying to grab people out? down on your luck, when you lose your house, when you become homeless or in need, would it be illegal for your brothers and sisters to help you? Would it be illegal for them to give you food, give you shelter? When we have a rally, is it illegal to be able to give out food to those that are in need? Why is it illegal to help the homeless? That's what this ordinance does. It makes it illegal to help your own family. It makes no sense whatsoever to give out a food and get a ticket back for it. That is what this ordinance does. It gets allows the city to collect more money for fines in an area that there are no areas to be able to collect fines in. This makes it illegal to feed people, your friends, your family. This makes it illegal for you to go buy a sandwich and hand it out to someone that's just in need. We have to do better. City Hall, hear us this day. We are human. We are not dogs. We are human. We are human. This goes to dignity and justice for all. God called us to feed. God called us to shelter. God called us to clothe. This is the commandment by God. Don't hinder us from doing God's work.
Come on up here, everybody, and feed the homeless. Come up here and support this cause that we're demonstrating, because we're not dogs. We're human beings. I would like to call for our mayor to come out here and at least talk to us about why he's trying to stop feeding his constituents, the same people that put him in office. He is trying to stop feeding him. I would like for him to come out here and face us, the real citizens of Kansas City. So let's stop this bill. Let's not just look around. That's the easy part. Just look. Saying, look at them. No, look at you, because this could be you tomorrow. This could be you at the end of the day. So let's stop this bill. Feed the homeless. If you're not allowed to give your brother and sister a sandwich, then what are you allowed to do? Are we going to let them control us like that? Or are we going to be the people of God? What did Jesus do? I'm not Jesus. I'm you. But I got a voice, and we need to stand up as men and women and feed our homeless. The children, the elderly, the veterans, the children in school that's getting all this junk, families. We're trying to put a train in the city, but we got poverty in the city. We're spending billions of dollars to put in a train, and you won't even feed your citizens. Mr. Mayor, come and talk to me. We will feed the people.
We're going in.
We'll be back with more right after this.
What if we had more hard-hitting journalism, more local stories, more quality kids shows, more independent voices?
What if we had more people telling their friends about the vital information they hear on KKFI? What if we had more listeners supporting community radio in Kansas City and the surrounding area? Most of the nearly 2 million people our 100,000-watt transmitter can reach have never heard of us. What if more people helped us get more hard-hitting journalism and more local stories on the air on KKFI? What if more people realized the potential of KKFI and got involved in trying to reach that potential?
What if we had less celebrity fluff, less mind-numbing advertising, less partisan shouting, less junk TV? We need more public media, better public media, new public media, now.
Welcome back to Tell Somebody. This is Tom Clammer. Before the break, we were listening to audio of protesters on the steps of City Hall in Kansas City speaking on Wednesday last week, June 5th, against a proposed city ordinance restricting feeding of the homeless outside of shelters. The protesters then went to a city council meeting and sat through an hour of other business before being told by a city attorney and council member Melba Curls that because of sunshine laws, the committee could not discuss the proposed ordinance during that meeting, and the meeting was adjourned. Some, including Esther Holsendorf, expressed their opposition to Councilwoman Curls and Councilman Jim Glover as the meeting broke up. I asked Esther Holsendorf for her thoughts on the matter, and shortly afterwards I also spoke outside with the director of one of the groups that would be affected by the ordinance.
I just think it's wrong for them to put this unnecessary burden on folk who are really feeding the homeless. They may not be on TV, and they may not, you know, have their faces on television or articles in the paper about them, but they have been doing this for years. They have been feeding the hungry, and we just go out, and if we see somebody that needs some water, we keep water in our car, or, you know, some peanut butter crackers or some honey buns or something, and we just hand it out to folks, or maybe a sack lunch or something like that. And we are really just doing the humane thing, just helping a fellow human being.
And under this ordinance, you would be restricted from doing that.
We would be restricted unless we go through this training or whatever it is they're saying we need to go through and get some type of certification and all that kind of stuff, you know. But I just believe that we already have a higher calling, and that is to look out for each other. If you got something and you can help somebody with it, do it. And I don't think it's not political. I don't think anybody in the political arena should put themselves up on that high, lofty plane to say that they can vote on what I do with my money. This is not public money. I spend my money buying different food things that I go out and give to people. So I don't think that has anything to do with politics.
I'm not religious myself, but it seems one of the most basic things humans can do for each other is give food to the hungry.
I think so, too, and I don't think it really has anything to do with religion. I think it just has to do with the fact that if you see a brother or a sister hurting or in trouble and you can help them, do it. I don't think it has anything to do with what church you are, if you go to a church, or who you believe in, or what your faith. I think it's just one human being trying to look out for another human being. And I think that's what we owe each other.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
First, your name and organization, and maybe how you feel about this ordinance.
Scott LeMaster with Taking It to the Streets. I'm the founder. In reference to the ordinance the city has proposed, we're against it in part. I'm not opposed to the city knowing who's coming in and out of the city to serve the homeless and those in need. But the things that we're opposed to it is having all of our members get food service licensing. We our organization, along with Uplift and others, do have permitted kitchens, and the food is prepared in a commissary, which is regulated by the city or a county, wherever the organizations might preside. But the fact that they want to add all these extra stipulations that aren't even required of restaurants to do. And so those are some of the things that we are opposed to in this ordinance, where they have, because we feed the poor, we have to go over and above what a restaurant has to do, which I disagree with.
And this... Do you feel like this is a solution in search of a problem? Have people gotten sick that you know of?
No, the whole thing is there's not a problem with anybody ever getting sick with food being served to the homeless person. It started with a trash issue a year and a half ago. We addressed that issue then, but that's not good enough. It started over in the Northeast District with some homeless people living there, which none of the organizations that I'm aware of feeds anyone over in that area, unless it might be Sheffield Family Life Center. But the We don't serve over there. Everywhere we serve, we provide trash receptacles and things. We've done that since day one. But there's a lot of other things that the city is trying to make us do that is not, others don't have to be regulated to do. So, and like they keep saying, this is for anybody who serves food in the public, whether it's free or private for a restaurant. Well, that's not true, because they're not regulating tailgating at the stadiums, which is probably one of the worst environments for food handling in the city that's ever being done. Every day when a Royal Stadium, every weekend with the Chiefs, 10 days out of the year tailgating, that is one of the worst environments, most unsanitary environments, giving away free food. But yet it's okay to do it there, but it's not okay to feed a homeless person a meal and without all these other regulations. So those are some of the things we're fighting.
Okay. And you've got a website, tothestreets.org?
The number two, thestreets.org.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.
Last Saturday, Richard Tripp came to meet me to talk about this a little more and brought a Miss E along.
I'm Miss E with Voices of the People and GYRM.
I'm Richard Tripp, Care of Poor People. I've been on here many times. But you see, at this show, it's a very important radio show. We need to get the message out about this Food Sharing Act. And I think the best way to start would let Miss E say a few things.
About food sharing? I don't have the ordinance in front of me, the number of the ordinance, but in my opinion, the food sharing is a way to monopolize the organizations to only go to three to be able to feed the, they say the homeless, but in food sharing means across the table. That means we won't be able to have grills, because in the ordinance it says there's no grilling. It has to be approved training, which is only three times a year. It is a fee based to it. The bottom line is that we believe that food sharing goes against our belief to be able to care for our brothers and sisters.
Yeah, I go along with that. You know, the real problem with this, well, the whole system's a problem, but the wording in this application, they've got people believing that the ordinance, it will be free. And nothing could be farther from the truth. It's going to cost your average organization that's trying to do a feeding like COP does. Going to cost an extra, $800-$900, up to the thousands. Because what they don't tell you is one ordinance leads into another ordinance on the way they read the ordinance itself. So one permit, you got to get another permit, you got to get another permit. It's just a way of basically, I believe, knocking the little person out and letting the big four take over with the people. But you know, if they get by with it, here's what we got. We got the scouts can't go out and hand out little sack lunches to anybody without the city getting involved, without the health department getting involved. It basically goes against everything I believe in, because there's no way, you know, my organization, as far as my organization goes, everything we give out is donated. All our volunteers primarily. How do you pay another on? I have 300 volunteers at each event at least. And the way the city is saying on this ordinance is like $25 to train each one. There's no way. There's no way my not-for-profit could last and do an event the way they got it set up. What they don't tell you is here's why the big four, I call them, are involved. It's because when the city gets ready, if they pass this ordinance to do this training, they're going to go to the big four and do the training.
And you say big four, tell us what you mean.
Yeah, City Union Mission, Restart, Hope and Faith Ministries, and Salvation Army. They got to pick between one of them four to do the training for them, because there's nobody down there can do it
I mean, the city manager's not going to do it. He's going to put it out there for groups to do.
Well, I agree. I agree with that. But when we talk about the training, you know, they said the ordinance was made to make sure that people don't get sick. Well, how many people have been reported that eat out of trash cans that have gotten sick? So when we talk about that ordinance, we have to really talk about what that ordinance was really intended for, and that was to eliminate the trash and the transits that have been over in the Northeast area. It was not about a complaint against the whole city. It came from Scott Wagner, which was over in the Northeast, and the people have been complaining about the homeless camps that have been set up. So they thought that we can attach this to a way to eliminate that by not only the having the food handlers permits, but also having them to have to label each and every of their containers that go out there. So if they find the trash, they can go back and say, this goes back to this individual. It doesn't go back. So when we talk about small entities, we're not able to do the labeling on everything, the ingredients and everything that you do that they're asking for. So we have to really say that this is just an inhumane way of getting away with eliminating trash.
And, you know, I can understand if I lived in a neighborhood where there ended up being a lot of trash and other problems associated with sanitary issues with homeless people hanging out that didn't have a home. I wouldn't like it either. How should we deal with this other than over-regulating these people that give them food?
Then we should be honest about it. We should be honest and have an honest conversation to pass an honest ordinance to say, let's deal with the trash issue. Because if we look back, the trash started when we started having just two bags per family. And so you have that on the multitudes of the thousands of people that are homeless, you know, then you have a trash issue. But we need to say let's pass ordinance dealing with the trash and not dealing with the inhumane way of telling us that we can no longer hold barbecue grills, neighborhood grilling. You know, I mean, it affects everything that we do. And our organization, Voices of the People, last year we fed 10,000 people. You know, and that was cooked and giveaway food. So they're saying that we can no longer cook and give away foods because anybody that cooks, whether it's in your home or outside of your home, your kitchen has to be inspected and it has to pass the health regulation that they put on to business restaurants. It's not saying that we can adjust our codes. It's saying that you have to pass restaurant standards.
The worst part is, you know, COP has been feeding people twice a year for the last 30 years. And we do like 3,000 people at a time. Never in that 30 years has anybody got sick off the food that we fed them. I know this. I wonder how many of the big four, City Union Mission, Restart, Salvation Army, or Hope Faith, can say that they've never had a person in their building where they have the legalized city ordinances going. I wonder how many of them can say they've never had somebody get sick off the food in their buildings.
And they have had other problems like bed bugs and all sorts of
things.
I mean, there's good things the shelters do that help a lot of people, but aren't there some reasons some people might not want to go to a shelter?
I think it was said best in the Northeast newspaper when they had put in their one of their comments was that was a silly ordinance, and it was only because of the complaints that was coming from the Northeast side against the panhandlers. And when we talk, and I want to stay away from us addressing the homeless, because if we address it, we're putting a face on this. If we want to put a face on it, we need to put a face on what the organizations that would be affected and the people that would be affected. It would be the Christmas dinners, the Thanksgiving dinners. It would be the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts cookouts. It would be all those different things, the neighborhood group cookouts. It's not about the homeless. It is about food sharing, and we need to stay focused on this food sharing, and food means we can no longer share our food, point blank. It doesn't mean that it's going to any disadvantaged group. It means people can no longer share their food.
Except tailgating at the Chiefs game.
You will not be able to do that. because that's sharing your food. You would not, it would have to be regulated, and it says it has to be regulated by the restaurant standards, and that includes the outdoor grilling. It's all listed under their ordinance 140412, and it clearly states no grilling, because I'm quite sure they thought that if people put out a grill, they would be able to hand people food. But it affects everybody, not just the poor people, not just the disadvantaged, but the tailgaters. It will definitely affect them. I don't think anybody even thought about that. That, you know, they would have to write a special ordinance to allow them to tailgate at the Chiefs.
Well, they may choose not to enforce certain places and to strictly enforce others.
And most likely that would be it, that they would try to handle it in that manner. But then that's when the city would probably look at a major lawsuit. And I think that the major lawsuit should come from the people if this is passed, because this goes against our principles, our beliefs, those that believe in God and believe that it was a commandment to be able to feed people. That definitely goes against our beliefs that we should be able to feed one another. But our biggest thing against this is it stops us from being able to build our neighborhoods, build our coalitions, and to share our food.
One thing that really struck me going to City Hall last week and listening to the people, they went to a committee meeting, the committee that passed this with on a 3-1 vote recommending that the full council pass it. This was at a previous committee meeting the prior week that most of the public didn't know about to come and be heard. And at this meeting, people protested and held signs outside City Hall beforehand, then went up to the committee meeting, sat through a bunch of other issues, and then at the end, the city lawyer said, because of sunshine laws, you, the council, cannot discuss this in a meeting because it's already passed, and you can't listen in the formal meeting to these people. Wouldn't it make sense, if they're really interested in solving problems, to hear from groups like yours, both of your groups and other groups, on how to deal with the problem? Were you contacted?
The wording on the ordinance itself, one of the things you'll find if you read that ordinance is they're not letting the farmers market involved in it. It says right there that the farmers market is not involved in this. In other words, the farmers can get by with selling produce down there. It's the way the city gets around it.
The council member works for the people. The people need to out them. We need to be more cognizant than the people we put in office. You know, because they have done enough things, in my opinion, that they should all be out of office. And if anybody works to pass this, and this does pass, I'm going to work hard to make sure they never get in office again, because we have to stop the inhumane treatment of our citizens, you know. And we have to say, let's open up the books. And I'm all for the Sunshine Law. Let's open up the books and see where this money is going. That same day, they passed $300,000 to go to Aim for Peace from that same city hall, from that same health department. But they would not pass to feed a mother or her child. We have to say enough is enough. We have enough houses to address the homeless, because now we're playing games between the city and the land bank. People have to be aware, and they have to be fed up. Because one thing about bad representation, it doesn't just stay located in one area. That trash, we all are affected by that trash. We're all affected by homelessness. I don't want to wake up one day and see transient camps on my house. So I'm working hard to make sure that we have places that are in place for those that may fall on hard times. And we have to have that honest conversation that, you know, if we don't want it, we need to do something to prevent it.
Tell me about your group.
Voices of the People?
Yeah.
Voices of the People was founded in 1999, and it's just what it is. It's a voice for the voiceless. We're state profit, but non-profit, but we're not a 501c3. So we're not affected by the same rules that they're affected by. But what we do, we gather information, we bring different people from all organizations together, and we come as a one voice, and we fight the different things, and we inform things. My son, Representative Brandon Ellington, holds political and legal classes, for those that don't know, free of charge. We bring the community in. We do Calm University, where we teach one another. We bring people. It's not a race thing. We have people from black, white, gay, straight. It doesn't matter. We are people, and that's how we fight these issues. We fight these issues as people issues and not just a segregated area. We are fighting in the third district because that's the most deprived and under-educated area because all the schools are closed. And that's the area that they have taken money and funded everything from the 4th, 5th, and 6th district. And these people are just left there because, one, the voter's low, and so they don't matter, you know. And our city council has never worked for them in the last 20 years, to put it like that.
If people want to find out more about this group, do you have a website or other?
We do have a website, but it's not up to date all the time. But it's www.voicesofthepeople.org. Or they can always call me at 816-651-0044, or we're on Facebook, Voices of the People. And, you know, we do weekly. We started a group organization called No More Excuses Neighborhood Coalition. And so this is where a lot of this push has come from. It's because the people in our organization said we're tired of this. And so we meet every other Thursday, the first Thursday and the third Thursday of the month. And 38th and Chestnut. But we will come to your area. If you ask us to host it on your block, we will come. And people are finding out more and more of what power we have against the city. And not just against the city, but working with the city. 816-651-0044. You can always call them. And you can always call Jan Markison, Jim Glover, Scott Wagner, and Melba Curls and tell them that this ordinance is inhumane, and call all the city council and let them know that this is inhumane. We don't want to be written. We want it gone. And we want to be able to deal with the real issues of the trash and the transit besides being able to take away our rights to feed the people.
Last night, Richard Tripp told me that at another city council committee meeting yesterday, around 25 people signed up to speak, and all of them opposed this ordinance. It should go to the full council today. You can dial 311 to find out the time of the full city council meeting today and find out how to contact your city council people. Well, that's it. We're out of time. You've been listening to the podcast edition of Tell Somebody, www.tellsomebody.us. Comments or questions, send an email to mail@tellsomebody.us. You can also follow me on Twitter @TellSomebodyNow. The Tell Somebody podcast is produced and distributed by Tell Somebody, and may or may not reflect the broadcast of Tell Somebody, heard on 90.1 FM KKFI in Kansas City, streaming around the world at www.kkfi.org. I'll be on 90.1 FM KKFI every Thursday morning at 9, right after Democracy Now! If you haven't heard Tell Somebody before, I hope you'll listen again. Check out the podcast and the broadcast. Click on a tile at www.tellsomebody.us for a link to a past show. If you enjoyed the show and appreciated the information you got from it, please tell somebody about the podcast and the broadcast. Spread the word to your friends and contacts by word of mouth or Facebook or Twitter or email list, or any other way you can think of. This is Tom Clammer. I'll see you next Thursday at 9 a.m. on Tell Somebody, or anytime you like, at www.tellsomebody.us.